if you'll open your books, and by the way, anybody need a book? We still have some back here in the box. If you raise your hand, we'll get Nate or somebody to get his running shoes on and get them to you. Now, I sound a little loud to me. Am I loud to you? Good. All right. So if you'll open up your books to the very first lesson there, lesson one, we're going to pick up with some things from the thoughts from our last class. And I just now thought, I don't have the clicker, but that's okay. I'll just point. You know, one of the things that happens when you're teaching this auditorium class, and especially me, I hadn't taught in a long time, I got too excited. And I had all my notes laid out, and they were pointing to a pinnacle, a thought that I wanted to get across to you. And so help me, somebody had a comment from the crowd here, and it was such a good comment that I was reading my notes after I got home, and I'm like, I didn't even get to my point. So we got to back up and get some thoughts from our last class. Oh, okay. All right. Here's what we were talking about. We were talking about from page one in our book, which was Luke 10, 38 to 42. And we was talking about Martha and her sister Mary. And we went through all this thing about Martha, and it was her house. And was she right or wrong to serve? And what about Mary? Was she right or wrong not to participate in the serving and all that? And Jesus has just this way about him. And he says, he answered and said unto Martha, and this was after she'd asked him, please bid my sister that she help me serve. And he says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall never be taken away from her. And what I wanted to talk to us about on that is this. Mary had an opportunity to listen to Jesus, to sit at his feet and learn. What if we had that opportunity today? So, you know me, my mind's going to wander. If you've ever been in one of my classes, about now is when my wife starts getting real ill feeling because she doesn't know what's coming out next. Because my mind works that way. One of the thoughts I had was, what if the headlines in the newspaper today read, Jesus will be speaking in Bowling Green from now through Friday night? Now, stay with me here. Would we go hear him? Man, we got a chance to hear Jesus. We've got a chance to hear Jesus himself talk to us. We can ask him questions. He's gonna talk to us. Would we go? Well, every one of us is going to stick our hand up in the air and say, well, of course I'm going to go. But there'd be some of us that would say, oh, wait a minute, Gary, the cats are playing tonight. What's he talking about? Can't you hear some of us saying that? Okay, he's speaking tonight. What's he going to talk about? All right, well, so tonight, well, he's going to talk about the parables tonight. Well, that's kind of interesting. I'll go to that. What about tomorrow night? He's talking about the resurrection tomorrow night. Oh, man, I'm busy tomorrow. Now, Friday night, he's going to talk about heaven. I want to be there for that one because I got a lot of questions. Would we be like that? That's kind of our nature, isn't it? Well, I know that's kind of a funny way of saying it, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. That's real. What if we could, though? Well, guess what? We can do just that. And that was my point I was going to make, and I got all the way home, and I happened to remember, and I think it was Matt's comment that got me off. It was such a good one. I got off base. We can do that. We can do that today. We can listen to Jesus. We can listen to Jesus anytime we want to, can't we? We can listen to Jesus on a variety of different topics. All we have to do is take the word. That's the good part. And open it. And I apologize for getting that. So let's get back to our lesson here. Turn, if you would, in your books. We're going to flip a couple of pages over to page 7. So I hope your mind doesn't work like mine, because that's how my mind has worked all week this week. What if we could? Yeah, you know, we were talking, we ended the class when the bell rang, talking about those moments when you don't know why. So you're trucking through your week and something bad happens to you. And you're just left with that thought, man, why? Why me? And we talked about, well, you're not unique. And every writer that's going to write about this type of topic is going to do it in a little different way. Now, the writer of this book chose one way. I'm going to go just a little bit different than he did, because that's my way, and I get to teach. So, I did like his first point there. When you don't know why, remember what you do know. Now, everybody works on projects in different ways, and I'm kind of one of these guys. I work really good with a blueprint or a set of steps. But if you throw me a pencil and a piece of paper and tell me to start drawing something or laying something out, I'm lost. I don't have any directions. I don't know anything. That's how I approach it. But it always helps me to know what I do know. And the first thing I would point out is that you are valuable to God. Have you ever thought about that? That's kind of a tough one for me. Because I know I'm a sinner. I don't always measure up to God's standard. But if you read John 3:16-17, let's just turn over there. I mean, we hear that, and we see it in the sign all the time at the football games, but how long has it been since you actually just read it? Let's flip over there. You know what? I'm about decided I can get to a scripture faster in a real Bible without the electronic one. All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know who those are? Those who believe in him? That's me. That's you. So at a time like this, when we don't know why we're going through some of the troubles and things we are in life, man, it helps me to remember God, I might not think I was valuable, but God thinks I am. He sent his Son for me, because guess what? If every one of you had lived a sinful life, but I didn't, still would have been necessary for Jesus to die, wouldn't it? For me. For my sin. And if I look at it like that, it kind of makes me think, you know what? Maybe I am worth something. I am valuable. How many of you, when you were kids, did your parents, after some bad event at school or some bad test or something like that, and you're just really down on yourself, you walk through that door and you're just all down about it, and your mom or your dad or somebody in your family had just the right words of encouragement for you and all of a sudden made you feel like you were worth something? I can't say that was always the case in my family, but mom and dad sometimes just had that little knack, didn't they? Well, that's how our Father is in heaven. The other part of that that I'd like to point out is that the victory has been won. When I feel like I may not be worth something, Jesus gave his life for me. He's already won the victory. I get to choose to be on that winning team. I can choose that. For some reason, that's real assuring. It's our choice. None of this other earthly stuff matters. We are that valuable to God. In the second point that I was going to make here is God has gotten us where we are today. Trust Him. You know, the entire Old Testament was basically, as we put it when we were in Bible classes as a kid, Jesus is coming. He's going to save the world. The New Testament, He's here. And the ending of it is, He's won the battle. We win. God has done everything He said He's going to do, right? Why wouldn't we trust Him? So at times when we're troubled and we can't see beyond the end of our nose, it helps me to remember that, and I'll put it my way, God's got my back. All I have to do is trust in Him. Yep, things may not go the way I want to here on earth. I may not make or have the money or the things or everything that I want to go right may not necessarily go my way. But I can trust Him because guess what He's promised me? If I'll believe and I'll obey, have faith to the end, I get to be a part of that victory team. I'm going to go to heaven. Does that not comfort you guys? Or am I just out here on an island, I think in just weird ways? I'm not big enough to win the battles. I'll tell you that. I've been fighting some pretty big battles and haven't been able to win some of them. But my Father is. And sometimes I just have to smile about that thought. Because when I was a kid, I remember standing, well, I was in the churchyard at Willowshade, and Gene will tell you about that. But I can remember some kid and I were talking about, well, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, my dad makes more money than your dad. My dad drives a bigger dump truck than your dad does. I can remember that. And that was when I was yay tall and my dad was that big and to me and all those things. Well, in a similar kind of warped way, we could think of it like this. There's nothing my Father can't do. Our kids even sing that song and believe it. What happens to us when we grow up? Why is it we can't believe that now? You know, I look out here and there's probably 90 to 100 people in this class. I look at Bowling Green. There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people tonight in our very town that don't even believe. The odds are already stacked against us. In my way of looking at this, there are lots of battles that we're fighting. We don't have to worry about these earthly ones. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to pay attention. There's one. Mary chose it. We can too. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Luke 12, verse 22. The next point I want to make, Scripture tells us not to worry about your life. So in Luke 12, 22, then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And that's what I was thinking about when I was thinking about those thousands and thousands of people walking around us every day. They are seeking food, shelter, drink, money. We don't want to be like that. Okay, now that doesn't mean we don't have to work to provide. We've got to do our part too. But his point here is, don't be anxious over those things. If I dare say, there's a lot of us even in this auditorium tonight that are anxious or worried about something right now that really doesn't matter in the long run. And I'd love to just say, stop it. Mary knew there's only one thing that matters. We can know that too. One of the points he made here is number three. Troubles endured with faith make us stronger. And it reads here, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. And that comes from Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. One who has struggled up the mountain, I like it this way, it says, will better appreciate the view from the top. Do you ever know the young, whether it's male or female, that they had the golden stick handed to them from their parents, maybe, or teachers or whatever in life, and as soon as they're out of school, they've got it all. They've just got everything. But you can see in their eyes, they don't really appreciate it. Now, I tell this, I'm a country boy. I can remember as a kid, our family went through one really bad stretch financially. Mom and Dad never talked about it. As kids, we didn't know. We thought we were as good as anybody else. We knew we patched the holes in our jeans, and then we patched the patches. But everybody did that in our school. But I can remember one seven-day week. We had pinto beans and cornbread with green onions 7 days. And I remember asking Mom, can we have something other than pinto beans? It wasn't that I didn't appreciate the pinto beans. It was just I was ready for something else. Well, flash forward to today. Man, I'd love to have some pinto beans and cornbread with green onions. Now, what do I mean by that? I've seen what it's like to struggle a little bit. Now, those times didn't last a long, long time of my life, but it lasted longer than I would really like for it to have lasted, especially when I went to school and all the other kids had brand new Converse All-Stars. And no, you're not old enough to know about that, Reuben. By the way, when I did get my Converse All-Stars, they had the black ones and the white ones. For some reason, the black ones were a dollar a pair cheaper, and guess what I had all through high school? They were a dollar cheaper. We got the black ones. Gene's smiling because he remembers those days too. All right, sometimes when we struggle, those struggles can grind those edges on us and make us better. We appreciate it more when we do get to the top, and that's what Romans 5 is trying to point out. Number four there. I like that one. Troubles can provide a time to put our convictions to the test. You ever think about that? Now, when I was making up my list that was a little bit different than the writer of the book made up, I almost left that one out, and then I read it again. And I read it again. And I read it again. And then I thought, you know what? That might be one of the best points we make. It says here, it was easier for Peter when with the Lord and the other apostles to make bold assertions about his fidelity under fire, fidelity meaning faith, than it was around the fire in the courtyard while Jesus was on trial in the palace, and that's where he denied him 3 times. It is easy for us to feel confident, and I like the way he says this, and a little smug when we are gathered with Christians singing and praying and studying the Word than it is at home, at work, at school, on the ball field. Convictions are not worth much unless they can be tested in the crucible of life. Man, that is so true, isn't it? You know what I take from that and how I let that help me? Sometimes I can be that way too. So what I try and do is I try and hang out with some of you guys here. Even when I'm doing something like playing golf or going to a ball game or something like that. And I'll pick on Greg because he's sitting back here. Greg and I and a couple other, my brother and his wife, we went to a basketball game together. You know what? I never heard a word out of the way. I never heard anybody discussing anything that they shouldn't have been. For sure, I didn't see anybody drinking anything or taking anything that they shouldn't have been. You know how easy that was for me to be who I was supposed to be? Because I know what? He's going to be looking at me. And in case y'all hadn't seen, he's a whole lot bigger than me. And I'll tell you one thing I like about him. If he saw me doing something that I shouldn't, or even thinking or talking or whatever in a way, I trust that he would tap me on the shoulder and say, man, we need to talk. That's called accountability. I want that in my life. Because I work sometimes in an environment where I may not have that accountability. I want to spend as much of my time with surrounded by you. Why do you think I come here on Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights? It's easy for me to be who I'm supposed to be. And yes, it's great to pull out the Bible and talk about things like this with you. Because I know you all know the truth too. Don't think that Jim and I have any lock on some secret something in this class. No, we're sharing ideas with you. We want your input too. But I trust you guys. It's easy to put our convictions out here. I want your help even when I'm not here. If you're struggling with this one, start spending time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to get to this point just a little bit later on the last slide. But if you struggle with temptations to say things you shouldn't, go places you shouldn't, drink things you shouldn't, whatever it may be, one of the best places to kill that little trouble in your life is start spending time with people from here. You know, Nate's sitting back here. I play a lot of golf with Nate. You know why I like playing with Nate? No, it's not because I can beat him. Matter of fact, I think I owe him one, if I remember right. He beat me pretty good the last time. No, that's not why I like to play golf with Nate. I like to play golf with Nate because there's no drinking going on around me. There's no cussing, throwing clubs, acting out. There's no discussions of women that shouldn't be. There are none of those things. I don't want any of those things. That's the real reason I play with you, Nate. Next point, number 5. Troubles remind us that we are not self-sufficient. How many of you need help in anything? Men, I want to talk to you for just a second. Men, you ladies, stick your fingers in yours. You know, guys, I'm probably the worst among all of us. But I hate asking for help on anything.
Greg does too.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, well, true. Well, you know what? It's funny you said that. Because I did a little project at the house, and I mentioned it to Greg, and he said, why didn't you call me? I'd have helped you. All right. Well, I hate asking for help. I like to be self-sufficient and do it myself. I don't want to impose. Well, here's the truth. We all need help. We all need help on different things at different times. Let me ask you this. Where will our help come from? Have you planned on that? Have you thought about that? Who are you going to ask for help on whatever it is in your life? Where's that help going to come from? If you haven't thought about it and you haven't planned on it, you might want to rethink. Because I had to. Number one, I want my help to come from God. Now, how am I going to get God's help? Can I talk to God? Absolutely. If you don't think that, you didn't listen to Brad and Matt in their last class. Because that was a theme that wound its way through that whole class. Have you thought about that? My Father rules the universe. He created it all. He owns it all. I can talk to Him. Now, He already knows what I need. But sometimes I need to ask, don't I? That's my first source of help. Where else can I get help? Absolutely. Number two on my list. Okay, when I think I'm self-sufficient, it doesn't come second nature for me to pick up the Bible. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm just wired that way. This class even has taught me that. Jim, you mentioned a book last time. Didn't we teach this? It was called Overcoming Sin by Heath Rogers. Okay, I went through my books this week to find that book because I remember one of the things in here about that writer, and this is a very well-written book. If you haven't read it, if you're having any kind of problem with sin, any sin in your life, he did a great job of giving you some ideas and templates for how to deal with those things. And Jim and I taught that class together. I'd forgotten that. When he said that Sunday, I went home and I found this book. But that was one of the things in this book is one of the first places you need to ask for help is, or find the help, is right here. What are you having a problem with? The answer's in there. Take you back to high school. When I was in high school, my favorite tests were the open book tests, right? Now, that changed when I got to college. You learned if it's open book, it's going to be unbelievable hard. But in high school, some of my favorite tests were those open book tests. My spiritual life is an open book test. I've got the book. At home, I probably have 5, 6, 7 of them. I hope none of them have dust covering them like that picture Jim put up Sunday. I've got the book. There are examples littered throughout that. Sunday morning, I talked to you about 5, 6 different examples just from the book of Genesis. 3, 4 of them were great examples of how we should act in every situation. 3 or 4 of them were how we don't want to act, some bad examples. We can learn from those too, can't we? You know, I can remember my brother got in trouble for something one time, and I remember going, okay, hint, note to self, don't do that. I can learn from that too. And there were some great scriptures here, and it doesn't surprise me that they came from Hebrews. Hebrews 13:6, and then Psalms. Psalms 9 and 9, 31, 7, 37, 9, 121, 1 and 2. Man, there's just some great scriptures here about us needing help. We're not self-sufficient. The one that I wanted to point out there is at the bottom of page 7 when it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Interesting. He is able to comfort them which are in any trouble. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Remember, we started this with, I can talk to my God. That's 1 Peter 3, 12 through 15. Job also, he points out here, Job reflected supreme trust in the Lord when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So we're not self-sufficient. Men, you've got your family around you. You've got your friends and brothers and sisters here. We've got a help and support system around us. We can't be self-sufficient, especially when troubles come. We need that support system. Number six, when troubles come, we need to help ourselves, not wring our hands. How can we help ourselves? You know, I love the way he put this, not wring our hands. How would Curtis Pope have put it? Don't fold up like a lawn chair or a card table, right? Sociology, psychology, however you want to study those things, will point out we all go to certain control centers when faced with trouble. I love watching Discovery Channel and some of the weird videos on there, but it's interesting to see how different animal species react when facing trouble. Some will back up in a corner, some will run, some will fight. Some of them, and there was a particular snake, I can't remember which it is, but he can suck in air and blow up to about six times his size just to try and scare the opponent. There's one particular lizard that can pop out something on the side of its neck, and he looks ferocious, and he's only about this big. We all have control centers that we go to when facing trouble. Now, here's my point. That sometimes in nature just happens by nature. With us as Christians, we need to be prepared. We need to have those control centers that we're going to retreat to or charge toward. We need to have those prepared. Ready. How can we help ourselves? I listed four or five things. One, pray. Ask God for help as a child asks a parent. Number two, get to work. Get to work. If something particularly of this earth that doesn't matter anyway is bothering you, get to work. And what I mean by that is get involved here. You don't think there's enough to do? There he is. Ask any of the elders. We got plenty to do. And if your mind is at work, you don't have time to worry about all these troubles and things. But that doesn't happen by accident. That happens by planning. Get involved. Don't be just that Christian that shows up here. Well, first of all, don't be that Christian that doesn't show up here. And it has always bothered me, particularly when I was serving as a deacon here, when we would take the attendance rolls and on Sunday morning we would have 325. On Sunday night we would have 270. Where'd the other 50 people go? On Wednesday night it might even get down in the low 200s. And I've always wondered, where did all those people go? To me, that was always a little bit discouraging. I wish those people could get involved. Now, that involvement not only helps me when I'm getting involved, it's encouraging to others as well. You know, man, I always hesitate to do this, to point out one person, because many of you took a moment to handwrite me a card when I was facing something troubling in my life. And I hope he won't shoot me for doing this, but Kelly Holt wrote me a card. And he wrote out several lines, but there was something in that card that struck a chord with me, and there was one other person, and I think he just stepped out, and that was Nate. He did too. But each one of them kind of pointed out something that I needed to hear. And if it was in Nate's case, if I remember right, he took the time to say, I've faced a similar something. If you ever want to have lunch, we'll talk about it. Wait, what was that? Somebody else went through the same thing or something similar to me? Man, I want to know, how did he handle that? And we talked about these kinds of things, prayer, studying the Bible, talking to God. And I just glanced at the clock and I didn't realize we're about to run out of time. We got some questions we got to get through. All right, flip over to the questions. Then we'll hit the conclusions here at the last. All right, number one, was it wrong for Martha to be concerned for showing hospitality to guests? Nope. Why did Jesus say that Mary had chosen the good part?
Eternal.
That's right. I would like to add a second part of that. Can we do that? Well, sure. We get to choose. I don't care what choices you face tomorrow. If you could look at it like that, how's this going to affect me 5 years from now, 10 years from now, eternally? Wouldn't that change what you think, what you choose, what you say? Sure. Name several Bible characters who faced trouble. Anybody in here named Job?
All of them did.
Yeah. Well, very good point, Gene. Hadn't thought of it like that.
Even Jesus.
What a great point. Now, you see why I like to ask questions? Because y'all's thoughts are a lot better than mine. Did you hear what Gene said? All of them did. Every character in the Bible had some kind of trouble. You know what? I don't think like that. I look out here and I see smiling faces. You know, Doc over here, man, he don't have nothing to worry about in his life, right? You know, we've got people that are facing some surgeries coming up. We've got some people that have lost loved ones in the last little bit. We have some folks that have family members that have fallen away or friends that have fallen away. We have things like divorce and addictions and just lack of faith. There's everything going on with everybody. Let's don't let that be discouraging. Matter of fact, don't let that be encouraging that someone else is going through all these things. But let it encourage me that, look, I'm not by myself. I'm not the only person that has ever had anything go wrong in their life. Get out that notepad. Write somebody a note. Tell them, I'm here if you need me. All right, I named Job, David, Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Wow. And then I started trying to write all of their different troubles, and I couldn't. Number three, what good things can come out of troubles we have faced? Interesting. What good things can come out of the troubles we face?
Experience.
Absolutely.
If
you're smart, you learn a lesson. Come on. Come on, Ryan. Did you always learn the lessons? Michael.
Perseverance.
Humility. Yeah. Humility. Let me tell you. You know, my wife says every time I need an example, I always go to sports. Well, I love sports. Just about the time when I was playing a sport that I thought, I'm king of the mountain, I'm the best, somebody would come along that was better, right? Absolutely. And you learn humility pretty quickly. You know, that can happen to you in work life, academic life, sports life. We shouldn't think this way, but sometimes we can be pretty smug about our Christian life in those ways too. Learn the lessons. Be humble. You know, I wrote some things down here. We can get a resolve. We can get a confidence from the overcoming the things that we face. We can grow our faith. How can we grow our faith from our troubles that we've faced? I overcame something, I can do it again. I have faith. God saw me through it. He can see me through it again. I can overcome. There's that faith, that confidence. What else? Anything else?
You can console others.
Absolutely. Wonderful. I've said this. I think one of the things that I might be able to offer in teaching this class is I've been through some troubles. I had to overcome them. I can help you if you just ask. Boy, I hate getting into this one, discussing Paul's thorn in the flesh and God's answer to Paul. And we know what his answer was. Anybody want to give it? My grace is sufficient? Okay, I don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I've heard everything you could imagine. What was the message, though? What was the message? He wasn't going to take it away from him, was he? Jim? I thought you were going to tell us what the thorn in the flesh was.
No, I wanted a quick interjection before class is over for, what, Sunday morning? Sorry.
Yep.
But bring your one favorite scripture that you like to go to when you're worrying about something. Okay?
Oh, great.
Thanks for that little billboard there.
The announcements. Do chapter 2 as well, by the way. The last thing here, and then I want to go over just some wrap-up points. It says, how can we help ourselves in times of trouble? Pray. I always start with prayer. Pray. Study. Let others, brothers and sisters, help us. Let God's Word help us. I wanted to cover just a couple things here. It is certain that troubles will come to us all. We have a Father who loves us and cares for us. We have God's Word to guide us through our troubles. We have examples in scriptures that we can follow, and we have each other to lean on for support and help. Thank you. We'll see you Sunday.